Quickly, I would like to talk about what is on the board. Okay, so Gaussian tensions associated with cut forms. So I think most of you definitely know the history. So the original approach of the problem, which due to Aichner, Shimura, and Delin, is based on the so-called Aichner-Shimura congruence relation. Okay, so but however, this approach, as far as I know, is quite difficult to generalize. So certainly, it has been done for module curve and Shimura curve, and there's an old work of Richard Taylor where he did it for Siegel free form. But as far as I know, this approach seems hard to generalize. And so on the other hand, so there's another approach originally initiated by Ihara and then further developed by Langlands and Cottwitz, which, I mean, nowadays we know much better now. So at least this approach of Langlands and Cottwitz works in a much more general setting. Okay? So the advantage of the Langlands and Cottwitz approach is that, well, there are at least two advantages. Firstly, it works in a much more general setting and works at least for all Shimura varieties associated to unitary groups or symplectic groups. So this remark has to be combined with some recent development in the theory of automorphic representation. So most notably, the work of Goh on the fundamental lemma and the work of Arthur. Okay, so and second, so is that the second advantage is that it brings the group theoretic structures into the problem much more clearly. Brings out the group theoretic structures in the problem. Okay. So the method is of Langlands and Cottwitz is based on the comparison of two trace formulas. Okay, so based on comparison of two trace formulas. So first one is the so-called Lefschetz trace formula or Grothendieck-Lefschetz trace formula. Okay, for correspondence, okay, together with a Frobenius, okay, so Frobenius Hecker correspondence. So that is one trace formula, okay? That trace formula gives the information on the Galois side. And we also need another trace formula to give information on the automorphic side. So that is the Arthur Selber trace formula for GL2. So of course, this is for modular curve, sorry. Because in our case, we are only studying modular curve, okay? Yeah. The automorphic side is Arthur Selber trace formula for GL2. Okay? Yeah. So therefore, let's set up some notation. Okay, so I hope that you. So some of these notations have already been introduced in the earlier lectures. So G, we always denote the group GL2. And for our purpose, because it's working with modular curve, it's always GL2 over Q. Okay, if we were to work with, say, Hilbert modular variety, then we can work with GL2 over total real field. But here, we only GL2 over Q. Okay? And K is so this is the kind of usual notation in automorphic theory. So K is an open compact subgroup of the finite abelic points of G. Okay, right. So A of F will always denote the ring of finite depth. Okay, so okay, and so therefore, so for almost all prime V, KV can be taken to be the full maximal compact, so say GL2ZV for almost all prime V, for almost all finite prime V, okay, right? So we have the modular curve YK, but I think I will be better, in order not to make confusion, to call it the modular Schirmer curve of level K. So this is modular. Curve of level K, and at least okay. So usually when we think about when we first learn about say modular curve, okay, we look at its complex points, right? So these say classical modular curve are quotient of Pongray upper plane by some congruence of group. So in this case, so let's first look at the complex points. Okay, right. So the complex points. Whoa, so what is okay, now I understand why. Okay, yeah. Okay, complex points of this curve. Okay, for this K, K is usually called a level. Sorry, I better put K is called a level. Okay? Yeah. Right. So at the level of complex point, it can be described as a double quotient. So G of Abel. Okay, remember G is always GL2. Okay, G of Abel quotient by G of Q. Okay, right? On the left you quotient by this, and on the right you quotient by this level K. Okay? And we also quotient something further. Okay, so K infinity and Z R. Okay, so here K infinity you can take it to be just say SO2 of R. So it's a maximal compact subgroup of the real points of G. Okay, so this is the maximal compact subgroup of GL2 of R, and ZR is the real points of the center of GL2. So you can take just to be R cross. Okay, yeah. So now, this double quotient decomposes, okay, as a disjoint union of finite many copies of objects that we are familiar with. Namely, it decomposes as a disjoint union of these objects, quotients of the Pongray upper plane by at least conjugate of congruent subgroups. Okay? So these are objects that we are familiar with. Okay? The only point issue is that in general, these are not geometrically connected. But in order to bring out the good theoretic structure, this one is certainly much better to use than this description. Okay. Right. So, of course, this is at the level of complex points, but Schirmer's theory of canonical model gives these spaces, well, these are examples of so-called locally symmetric space. Okay. So these give the structure of these spaces the structure of a variety over a number field. And in the case we are here, namely modular curve, the number field is just Q. Okay? So Schirmer's theory of canonical model, okay, gives the structure YK the structure of a variety over Q, okay? So in this case, the variety has one dimension, okay? Right? And in this case, this can be done as solution of a moduli problem. Sorry? Race, sorry, yeah. Moduli problem. So parametrizing the elliptic curve plus level structure, level k structure. So, and technically, I'm always assuming that the open compact subgroup k is small enough so that these modular problem are representable. Okay, so or in to put it another way, these locally symmetric space are just smooth manifold. Okay, like so this. Okay, so in fact, we can even do better. Okay, so this is over Q, right? So you can do better. So namely, so we are going to fix a prime P. Okay, right? So assume that the open compact subgroup K has of this form. So again, this is the usual practice in the subject. So when we write a prime in the subscript, it means that it is at that place. And if you write the prime P as a superscript, it means outside that place. Okay? So we assume that K, the open compact subgroup, has this decomposition with the level at P is the maximal one. So in other words, GL2 is at P. Now in the classical language, this exactly means that P does not divide the level. Okay? So this is the kind of way you do it in the automorphic theory, but that is basically saying that the modular curve has good reduction at P. Then, so this modular curve here, YK, then has an integral model. So in fact, this one has an integral model. Okay, so it has an integral model over that P, okay? So, and this is smooth, okay? So in other words, to say that this is same as saying that YK has good reduction at P, smooth integral model. And also, and it's well known, so these modular curves, usually called open modular curve, has a compactification. And these compactification also extend to the at the integral level. Okay, so we'll call this integral model, let's call script YK over ZP. Okay, these also have compactation by adding cusp. So so usually we call XK the compactified modular curve, okay, again over Q, and similarly we call this script X K as the compactification of this one over ZP. Okay, this this then is a proper smooth over ZP. Okay, right. So that is the geometric theory. Okay, geometric side of the story. Now, then we need to go to the automorphic side, but before that, let's talk about our modular forms, right? So we have a modular given, say, ourselves, F, be a cuspidal eigenform on GL2. Okay, so I guess up to now we only talk about GL2, right? So F cuspidal eigenform. Okay, so eigenform respect to Heck algebra. Then the theorem of Eichner-Shimron, the link is that from F we can attach a and any prime, say L, we can attach an elliptic Gauss representation, two-dimensional one, associated to F. Okay, and but however, in the Langlands Cobwitz approach, it is much more important to think about F in terms of cuspidal automorphic representation. That is because we want to put everything in the group theoretic context, just like we have been doing for the modular curve. So therefore, for this, it is much more important to consider F as a cuspidal automorphic representation on GL2, which we have been denoted as G, but let us say GL2 of the adults of Q. Okay, right. So I think on Wednesday, so Yannis will give a talk on how to pass between, say, modular form and automorphic representation. But let's accept this as a moment. Okay. Now, so this group GL2 of Adele is almost a direct product. So it is not exactly, but almost a direct product of the GL2 of the completion QV. So this is for all V. In other words, including both the Archimedean prime and the finite prime. So there's a prime here, so it's called restricted direct product. It means that for an element in a direct product to lie in here, it has to satisfy the property that for almost all V, the components actually lie in the maximal compact subgroup GL2ZV. Okay? Right. But in any case, because this is almost like a direct product, so our automorphic representation pi on this group has a corresponding restricted tensor product decomposition. Okay, so this pi then has a decomposition okay, so usually written this form. Okay, again here, V runs over all the place of Q. And to simplify, so let us say that this eigenform is of weight 2. Okay, everything works for general weight. But to simplify, let's just say it's of weight 2. Okay, so then this condition is reflected in these local components. So pi V is irreducible. Usually there's a technical word called admissible representation, but let's just ignore that, irreducible representation of GL2 of QV. Such that, first, so the weight 2 condition is reflected at the Archimedean component. So pi infinity is a so-called discrete series of the lowest weight. On GL2 of R. Okay, right. Okay. And second, so now for almost all the place V, the representation pi V is in some sense quite simple to describe. So this is the corresponding property of a Hecker eigenform. So namely that if you have a given a Hecker eigenform and suppose you look at a prime P not dividing the level of the eigenform, then you have the Hecker eigenvalues, right? So in fact, if pi is the automorphic representation corresponding to F, then at such a place, that pi V can be described completely in terms of the corresponding Hecker eigenvalues. So in other words, so for almost all V, pi V is a so-called is an unramified representation. So can be completely described by the Hecker eigenvalues at V. Okay, right. Now, so to bring out the corresponding picture in the classical situation. So, for example, so if F is of level, say, gamma 0 n, right, okay, gamma 0 n, then you can put K 0 n to be this open compact subgroup, okay, so defined by elements, okay, so one for each place, okay, so GV for the element at the place V, such that as the usual kind of thing, it is congruent, so GV lies in the GL2 of set V, and such that GV is congruent to an upper triangular one, modulo N, okay? But we work only in the local context for each place V. Okay, right? Suppose F is of this, then the corresponding story on the automorphic side is that pi has an invariant vector under this group K0N. Okay, and in fact, you can recover F as a pure tensor. So remember, pi has this restricted tensor decomposition, right? You can recover F as a pure tensor in this invariant space. Okay, right. So therefore, we go back to the general situation. So we have this pi. So we have pi and choose k, which is of this form before. So in other words, it is a maximal compact at p, so the full level at p, such that pi has non-zero invariance under k, okay, right. So that means that the more modular form is of level k, okay, right. Now, so it is also convenient in this picture to bring the Hecker algebra into play. So namely that when you take the k invariance, okay, so pi is a representation of the group of abelian points, but when you take the k invariance, certainly the group no longer acts, right? But what it acts is the Hecker algebra, okay? Okay, right. So also to set up some notation, so pi has this decomposition as before. So we write the decomposition in this manner. So the Archimedean part and the finite part, okay, right. So pi f, as usual, denote the finite part. And pi f is defined over some number field. Let's call this L. So this number field is exactly what people call Hecker field of the, so F, of course, not to be confused with modular form, but so this pi f, this L is usually called the Hecker field, okay, so and in the classical context of modular form, this is exactly the field generated by the Hecker eigenvalues. So this, the finite abelian part is defined over some number field. Okay? So we bring out this Hecker algebra, so level K Hecker algebra. Okay, right, so HK, so this is the space of, so so locally constant. Actually, you don't need local constant, okay, because another condition we implied is compactly supported. K by invariant function on the abelian finite abelian points of a group, okay? So say with values in L. In this number field L that we fix, okay? So in other words, so just to say a shorthand of what we've written here, so this is this. So K by invariant simply means that it lives on this double coset by K, and say with values in L. Yeah. Oh yeah, sorry. Yeah. Okay, so now similar to the restricted tensor decomposition we have for the representation, we also have the restricted tensor decomposition of this Hecker algebra. Okay, so this basically is just a abelian object. In other words, it just factors as a restricted tensor product. Okay, so of the local Hecker algebra. Okay, so here is So this, okay, HKV, the local Hecker algebra. of level KV. So it is exactly the same, but you just work with the place at V, so I'm not going to write again. And for our purpose, the main point is that at the place P, because we have chosen K sub P to be maximal compact, at the place P, this is a very simple algebra. This is called the unramified or spherical Heck algebra, and this is exactly the type of Heck algebra we learn and study in the classical theory of modular forms. So HKP is so-called spherical Heck algebra. So in other words, so this is this. Okay, so in particular, this is commutative, okay, so, and it's, and inside you have the very familiar element, like for instance, TP, okay, so this is usually what we call, so, okay, let's just write KP, and then P001, KP, okay, this operator is something that will certainly appear in our story, okay, when we talk about Hecker eigenvalues and Frobenius eigenvalues. Now, so we have this Hecker algebra, and the main point is that HK, okay, X on pi K, okay, right? Okay, in fact, it acts on more, okay, in fact, say it acts on our modular curve of level K by correspondence, okay, right? So HK also X on this modular curve yk, xk, okay, by correspondence, by Hecker correspondence. Okay, right. Right, so now we haven't said anything about Galois action. So now it's time for that. Okay, so, right, to Galois action. And so historically, so say for modular curve and modular form of weight 2, then the Galois representation can be constructed from the, say the elliptic Galois representation can be constructed from the elliptic tape module of the Jacobian of the modular curve, right? And for higher weight, okay, or in more general setting of Schirmer variety, you replace the use of Tate module by a tau cohomology. Okay, so we have the cohomology groups. Okay, right, so these cohomology groups, so HI. So for the moment, let's write B here. So B, of course, stands for Betti. Okay, and for, so this is something that I kind of determine what to say. Okay, so naturally, so you would like to only work with the open modular curve, okay, because of the group theoretic interpretation. But turns out that it is the compactified one that is the right one, okay, when you want to say study the theta function of the modular curve, okay? But anyway, so this is the compactified one. So Q, okay? But these don't have Galois action. So this is Betti. So to obtain Galois action, we need to use the Etau cohomology. So we choose a prime L, not yield the P. Okay, you choose a prime L, not yield P. Then we have the Etau elliptic cohomology group. So, or in fact, you can even better. So L not yield P, and a prime lambda of L above L. So remember, L is the Hecker field. Okay, it's the field generated by the Hecker eigenvalues of your modular form. Okay. So choose a prime lambda of L above small l. Okay. Then you have the etale, analytic etale cohomology groups. So HI etale of your module curve XK. Okay. XK, remember, is defined for Q, but in this, you base change to Q bar. So consider as a curve over Q bar and with coefficient QL. Or even better, so you can, okay, thank you. Or even better, you can do it with coefficient in here. So L lambda, where L lambda, of course, is a completion of this number field L at a prime lambda. Okay? And the main point is that these have Galois action. Okay? Because you base change your module curve to Q bar, these have action of your absolute Galois group, okay, GQ. And furthermore, as we have said here, because the Heck algebra acts on these module curves by correspondence, so by functorality of cohomology, these Heck algebra also acts on these groups. And because the correspondence defined for Q, it commutes with the Galois action. So it has an action, commuting action of product of absolute Galois group of Q and this level K Heck algebra. Okay? And my main problem or the way to attach a Galois representation is very simply this idea. So, namely, you have this commuting action of GQ and HK, and given our automorphic representation pi, you have the K invariance, right? Pi K of pi, which is a module over this. Then you simply look at the multiplicity module of pi k in this space. Okay? Right. So of course here I is from 0, 1 to 2. Okay? Right? So let's define. So for pi as before. So let's define this module Wi of pi f, where as you recall, we decompose pi into the Archimedean part and the finite abelic part. So this is the, by definition, is the multiplicity module of pi f, so the k invariance of the abelic part in this cohomology module. Okay, right. So this is this. And we want to find our Galois representation associated to F from this. Okay. Sorry? Oh, yeah, yeah, sorry. Yeah, thank you very much. HK, yeah. Okay. So just a remark. So since pi is cuspidal, so in other words, it arises from a cusp form, so you can show without much trouble. This is very simple to show, is that W0 and W2 vanish, okay? Yeah. So this is quite easy. So from, say, estimates of very simple estimates of the size of Heck eigenvalue, but, okay, so still it is more canonical to consider these three cohomology together. And in fact, it's much more canonical to think of this as virtual representation. Okay, so similarly, W dot as a virtual representation. Okay? Even though for cusp form, only the H1 and similarly W1 piece would occur. Okay? Yeah. Okay, so now recall that because we have chosen the level to be maximal at P, the module curve has good reduction at P, okay, right? So KP maximal implies this module curve has good reduction at P, implies that the action of Galois on this cohomology module, say H dot and W dot, are unramified at P. Okay, so that is the say in the case of weight 2, or in other words, these can be constructed from Jacobian. This is the famous Neron-Ochs-Shafer-Ravitch criterion. So in general, that is the basic property of a tau cohomology. Okay. So anyway, because it is unmodified at p, so it suffices. So in order to determine the action at p, right? So it suffices to compute the action of a Frobenius element. So in other words, trace of phi p, okay, on these modules. That is dot. Okay, where phi p is any lift of a geometric. So in this business, it is the convention now is all due to Deligne. So we use a geometric Frobenius element. So it is the inverse of the usual Frobenius element, okay? Right? Okay, right, so you want to compute, there's a pi f here. So, yeah. You want to compute this, okay? So now we can have a, bring the automorphic, or bring the Hecker algebra into play, okay? So we can choose a Hecker function. So f upper script infinity. So remember, so upper script always means outside the place. So upper script infinity simply means that the function is on the finite adelic part. Okay. So of course we only define the Hecker algebra on the finite adelic part. But anyway, so let's use this notation in this Hecker algebra that picks out your automorphic representation, pi. Okay, so what does it mean? Okay, so basically it means that you can choose a Hecker function, so f like that, such that it acts at zero on all other automorphic representation, okay, with, okay, same pi infinity component, in other words, weight 2, and such that the finite adelic component differs from the one that we have chosen. Okay. So in other words, i.e., so f infinity x at zero on any pi tutor which is of this form with pi tutor f not equal to pi f. Automorphic pi tutor, sorry. Okay, yeah. Okay, then if you choose this Hecker function, then we can translate this trace here as this trace. Then trace of this object, okay, of this representation here is equal to the trace of this one, okay? So this is what we call a Frobenius Hecker correspondence on the full cohomology module X star. Okay, so this is what we call a Frobenius Hecker correspondence. So basically it's a composition of this Hecker correspondence and this Frobenius correspondence. So, and remember that we have said that in this case the modular curve has good reduction, so we can work everything at the special fiber. So this is the Frobenius correspondence on the special fiber of xk. So now at this point there's a very important remark, okay? So in the classical theory of modular curve using Eichner-Shimura congruence relation, then the usual trick is that you say you look at how the Hecker correspondence, say at a prime p, looks like at the special fiber. So in this case, you are using the bad reduction of modular curve. But here, everything has good reduction because the modular curve and the modular curve has good reduction. And we can also choose this function here such that the component fp is equal to the identity function. The identity element of the Heck algebra at P. Okay? So in this case, you can do this, and everything can be done at the group reduction level, including both the Frobenius correspondence and the Hecker correspondence. Okay? So everything works in the group reduction setting. So that is one of the major difference with the classical Eichner-Shimura approach. Okay, now but in any case, you want to compute this, okay, on the special fiber, and that can now be computed using the Lefschetz trace formula. For correspondence for both the Frobenius and the Hecker correspondence, then you can compute this trace. Okay, right. So unfortunately, I'm a little bit lack of time, so let me just quickly write down the formula of Kottwitz. Okay, because that is the punchline, so there's no point to not to even write down what this is. Okay? So the formula of Kottwitz. Okay, so let's call this star. Okay? So you want to compute this star using the Lefschetz trace formula. So the Lefschetz trace formula for correspondence tell us that this, okay, trace of such a correspondence on the cohomology is given by a sum of the trace of this correspondence on the fixed points, okay, for this correspondence. So Kottwitz computed that, and that is a modulo sum caveats, okay. So to be, this is not exactly true, but again, so due to lack of time, just say this. Okay, so it is given by a sum over gamma. Okay, so write this. Yeah, sorry, I don't have any time to care, think about this. Okay. Okay, so what is this formula here? Oh, sorry, I missed out a term. Okay, here, I think. Sorry. Okay, so I gamma module. Okay, so of course I need to explain the meaning of these terms here. So gamma ranges over the conjugacy classes of GL2 over Q. Okay. So gamma ranges over the GQ conjugacy classes. Of GQ. So remember, this is just GL2 of Q. Okay, right. And the old term here, these are the so-called orbital integrals. Okay. So so let me only write out one of the terms. Okay. So gamma is FV. Gamma V FV. So gamma V, of course, it means gamma consider as an element in the completion. So for V not equal to the infinity of P, so this is the orbital integral
of fv, so that is given by such an expression. Okay, so it's a purely local quantity. So here, the integral is only over qv, purely local quantity. And g gamma is the, so I suppose, okay, g gamma is the centralizer of gamma, okay? And so the main point is that at a place outside v on infinity, this is the orbital integral of our original function f. But at the place p, then it is a different one, okay? So, at p, so this is the same, okay? So, same orbital integral, but with respect to a different function. But, with respect to this Hecker function, c, okay, right? So previously we have alluded to the Hecker operator p, right? Now it reappears. So this is exactly this Hecker operator. The usual kind of Hecker operator we call tp in the classical field module form. Of course, kp is the maximal compact. Okay. Right. So even though we originally chosen the Hecker function f upper script infinity to be such that the local component of this at p is the identity element of Hecker, in other words, you don't have this, okay, but for the cp occurring in this sum, it is this one, okay? Okay, so I gamma, okay, I should put an infinity here because this term basically concerns the Archimedean component. So I also forgot one condition, okay, such that gamma infinity as an element of the real group is R elliptic. Okay, so R elliptic simply means that, so this is just a 2x2 matrix, right? R elliptic simply means that the characteristic polynomial is irreducible over R, okay? So, yeah. Okay, so that has to basically is kind of reflection of the fact that we are working with the discrete series representation at the Archimedean place. Okay, so then the character of such a discrete series representation is supported on the elliptic element. So that is the sphere of Paris triangular. So that is a reflection of that. Okay, so and Paul got up. I still have one more term. So this is the volume terms, okay, or usually called the Tamagawa number of G gamma if you use the Tamagawa measure. So volume of this. Okay, so yeah, of course you choose the measures compatibly, right? So because when you define the orbital integral, right, you're working with this quotient, right? So that's why you put a dot, okay? And corresponding to this quotient, then I mean the measure compatible, okay, so that the product does not depend on your choice of measures on the centralized G gamma. Okay? Right? Okay. So I think this is the, yeah, so I think I gave the formula of Cockwith, okay, for the for counting formula of this. Yes.
Did you define I gamma?
I gamma. Ah, sorry. Let's say just think of this as G gamma infinity. Okay. This is almost all almost always the same. So no, I mean there's an important difference when gamma is the identity element. So because gamma is of course gamma is semi-simple. Semi-simple, but not necessarily regular. So, and for GL2, then you have the identity element, which is not regular. So when gamma is the identity element, then it is not the full centralizer, because the full centralizer would be the whole group, right? And you, so, and in that, so let me put back my point. Okay, so where I gamma infinity is equal to G gamma infinity if gamma infinity is not 1. So remember, in this equation, gamma infinity is always a elliptic semi-simple element. So that means that there are only two cases. So if it's not the ID element, you take I gamma infinity to be this one. And if gamma infinity is the identity element, then you take it to be a different one. Okay? So in other words, you take it to be so how should I write this? So R cross times SO2. Yes. Okay. So note that when you quotient out by this this bit, okay, then this becomes compact, okay, which is certainly in accordance with what being said. Okay, so there's a caveat, okay, which as I said, module sum caveat. So what is this caveat? Okay, so the caveat is that this form of Cotwitz is really for the compacted supported cohomology of the open module curve. So remember, we are working with the cohomology of the compactified module curve, but this form of Cotwitz is really for the action of the Frobenius tensor correspondence on the compacted supported cohomology, of course only the central tau cohomology, on the open module curve, not the compacted one. Okay. So in some way it gives the dominating term for what we want to compute, but certainly you need something. Okay. But in our case, since we are really concerned with cuspid automorphic representation, in the end, these two doesn't matter. Okay, so basically the difference is that there's a one-dimensional trivial representation, which is essentially an automorphic representation of GL2, just a trivial representation, that would contribute to the cohomology we are computing. Okay, and which is somehow not seen when you want to somehow not seen in this formula. Okay. But let's say just ignore this caveat, okay, and we take this as valid. Okay, right? So that finishes the part on the trace formula on the Galois side, okay? So this formula Cotwitz basically amounts to counting formula for elliptic curve, okay, with the level structure fixed by the Frobenius and the Hecker correspondence. So this can be done. Okay. So then now we want to compare with the alpha several trace formula. Okay, so I forgot to mention this, but in general, when we think of a trace formula, then it has this is an identity of two two parts, right? One is called the geometric side, and the other is called the spectral side of the trace formula. So this is even true in the lecture setting. So namely, in the lecture setting, this is the geometric side of the lecture trace formula. And for the action, and what we want to compute, namely the trace of the Frobenius tensor correspondence on the cohomology, is the spectral side, the lecture trace formula. So then for the alpha sample trace formula, we also have similar structure, but of course in this section it's entirely automorphic. So the spectral side is this, like that. So again, so in general, the alpha sample trace formula is quite complicated, especially when you are working with a group, okay, which is so-called isotropic. So GL2 is one of such examples, okay? So namely that the alpha sample trace formula in general can have some very complicated terms. And this is especially the case when, for instance, your Schumann variety, which is a moderate curve case here, is non-compact. So that's why, say, if your purpose is only for constructing Gaussian phase, it is much easier to work with Schumann variety, which is compact. And in that case, the alpha seven trace formula is very simple to prove, okay, as alpha seven is just very half a page proof, okay? But in general, it's not so, okay? And, but let's just take it as a true that this is just like a trace formula of an isotropic group. So in this case, you would have, so this is a spectral sign. Okay, and the geometric sign has something similar over there, looks something similar over there. Geometric sign, again, gamma, called the gamma, all the putting the cell of x, okay, respect to gamma. Here, f is any Hecker function, but we are including the I in the place. Okay, over there, it is just the final direct part, but here, f is including an I in the place. Okay, so gamma is ranges over all the GF, let's say semi-simple GF conjugate part. Okay, right? Okay, and then overload integral is exactly the same as I think I erased, but the same term as we have seen. Okay, so I want to skip this. Okay, yeah. Okay, and the point is that we want to compare the geometric side of the alpha seven trace formula here with the geometric side of the lesser trace formula by taking a suitable choice of this test function f over that one. Okay, so we take the f, so remember this f includes the Archimedean part to be, okay, so basically, a lot of parts is already determined. So at the place outside infinity and p, we want to be this function that we have taken before. Okay, so this is for the Hecker correspondence. At p, we want to be this Hecker operator at p. And at the place infinity, we choose, again, a kind of test function, which basically picks out the weight two discrete series. So again, I have to use some terminology, but so f infinity is okay. So again, for some fine reason, minus one times a pseudo so-called pseudo coefficient of the lowest weight discrete series. Of GL to R. Okay, so remember we have said that this equality is only morally true. So in general, you have more complicated terms on both sides. But if you take this f lowest root infinity to be such a pseudo coefficient, then a lot of terms in both the spectral side and geometric side does vanish. I mean, those complicated terms on both spectral and geometric side does vanish if you take this f infinity. So we can really have a trace formula as if we have a compact function. Okay? So you have this. And furthermore, the orbital integral of this Archimedean function, okay, so this orbital integral is a factor as a product of the local orbital integral. Okay, this is just a local object. And we similarly have, so basically for the Archimedean part, it matches this term. So with this choice of f infinity, the orbital integral